The government's threat to break up power companies if they don't bring prices down is facing mass backlash from industry groups who believe a big stick approach will have the opposite effect on our electricity prices. The Senate Economics Committee is reviewing the Energy Market Misconduct Bill, which didn't quite pass Parliament in the chaotic last sitting week in December. The Australian Energy Council is one of the big names that has submitted its concerns to the Senate committee, and its chief executive, Sarah McNamara, joins me now. Sarah, welcome.
Good evening, Patricia.
Sarah, your organisation has been strongly opposed to the legislation. What are the biggest risks that you've identified?
Patricia, the bill that's before the Parliament at the moment proposes some really serious penalties for conduct that's simply not present in the energy market at the moment. Our concern is that this bill, if passed by the Parliament, is only going to increase risk for would-be investors at a time when the most important thing we can be doing is decreasing risk, increasing investment, and bringing prices down for consumers.
If this behaviour is not present, then the big stick can't be used. So why is it a problem?
The difficulty is that the way this bill has been drafted makes it very challenging for the industry to understand exactly how it might behave to comply with the bill. And whether or not a company is, if you like, behaving appropriately, and of course they all are at the moment, the ACCC report did not find misconduct in this market, the actual threat of a potential risk in the future is enough to deter would-be investors. And that's a really important point.
Do you think there's already been in would-be investors that are thinking twice?
Oh, absolutely. And well, we are at the oft-talked-about policy vacuum we've been enduring for more than a decade now is absolutely the reason why we've got a tight supply situation on the generation side. And
but this particular bill, you think it's having that chilling effect?
Oh, if this bill passes the Parliament, it will only add to the sovereign risk issues already present in an energy market that is close to uninvestable at the current time.
The government agreed to water down the bill, giving courts, not the energy minister, the power to break up companies and making it clear that a recommendation from the competition watchdog would be required to do anything. Hasn't that vastly improved the legislation?
Well, we welcome the fact that the government has agreed with what we said all along when we first saw the exposure draft of the bill, and that is it is absolutely outrageous to give a treasurer a quasi-judicial power of divestment. That said, the bill is still riddled with questions, that it has not been a transparent process, and we believe there may still be some constitutional issues to be dealt with. Now, we are all working in a really tightly constrained timeframe as well. That's also a problem for this bill because a power of this magnitude, a bill of this sort of market-changing influence, really should go through a proper investigative process. And we've seen no proper consultation from this government on this bill, no examination of the costs and benefits. And importantly, the government has not been able to explain either to the industry or to consumers how this bill would bring down prices.
Have you been working very hard lobbying the crossbench in relation to this bill? Because, of course, the government is a minority. Josh Frydenberg thought he had the numbers in the December sitting. It didn't ultimately pass. It's back on the agenda this year. Do you think that you've been able to sway any of those MPs?
Oh, we're in conversations with MPs in both the House of Representatives and the Senate, including crossbenchers. We've been speaking to them since this bill was first put on the agenda back in October, and we'll continue to do that until the Parliament rises, because this bill represents a very serious risk both to our sector and more broadly across the economy.
Your group's among some major players that are airing their concerns: the Energy Users Association of Australia, the Australian Industry Group, the Grattan Institute. Are you lobbying as a united front, given there are so many very, very significant organisations on the record now against this?
Well, I think we're all singing from the same song sheet in the sense that the concerns about this bill are so obvious and really do jump out at you when you read the bill and the explanatory memorandum attached to it. We are all saying the same things because the issues are just really very clear. This is a big risk and a bad piece of legislation which the government would do well to put to one side.
The government, of course, says it wants to bring in the big stick to reduce power prices. What kind of impact do you think this kind of legislation would have on power prices?
Well, it would only increase power prices because it increases risks for would-be investors in the market. This is not a substitute for the kind of positive market reforms that the ACCC recommended, for example. There were 56 recommendations in the ACCC report. That report was a 400-page report, the result of an 18-month forensic examination of our market. And we support many of the recommendations in that report, which would see power prices come down for consumers.
Given the government doesn't look likely to pivot on this or change its strategy, in fact, it wants this legislation passed this year before the election, what have you got left? I mean, how will you try to stop this, given the government is clearly arguing that this is important on a consumer level? This is part of its armoury, I suppose, going into the election cycle, saying that they want to bring down power prices.
Well, there doesn't appear to be any link between lower power prices and the heavy-handed market interventions that are in this bill. In fact, no one has been able to explain to us how this bill would bring down power prices. So what we will be doing in the industry and across consumer groups and business groups as well, there is absolute unanimity of opinion that this bill is bad for consumers and will have an upward pressure on power prices, which of course is not good news. So we'll be making our case very strongly to the Senate committee. We've made our submissions last week.
Are you concerned about that process as well? Is the government trying to bring that forward?
We were concerned. The Senate committee's been asked to report to the Senate by the 18th of March, and just a couple of days before Christmas, the closing date for submissions moved from the 11th of February to the 25th of January. Now, that of course made it more challenging for stakeholders to get their houses in order to make submissions. I think we have it all in large part managed to get to the deadline of the 25th of January. But we are concerned that the Senate committee may not have enough time to adequately examine the very substantial submissions that are being made. And we do hope that the hearings will also elicit some of the concerns and give the Senate time to think through the really manifest issues contained in this bill.
Craig Emerson has also put in a submission. He's a former Labor Minister in Trade, pretty well-known public figure now too. Of course, also an economist that, advised people like Bob Hawke. He says regulatory control of prices is a feature of economies such as those of Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, and the former Soviet Union. None of those economies can be said to have maximised consumer welfare. Do you really see this as comparable to those countries?
Well, look, I'm no expert on the economies of Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea and the like, but all I can say is there's been no case made for the market interventions in this bill, and it is an unfortunate distraction from the good work we could be doing to bring down power prices for consumers.
Of course, this commentary that this is not really traditional Liberal Party policy has been made a few times as this policy has developed. Labor has said it's opposed to this big stick approach. Do you think Labor is committed to ensuring that this legislation, if passed, would repeal the legislation? Have you spoke to the Labor Party about how they would manage this?
Well, I suppose that's a question for them, and we would cross that bridge if we come to it. It is our intention to advocate very strongly against this bill, and we are really hopeful that the government will have a closer look at it and recognise that it is not going to deliver on its stated intention to bring down power prices.
Now, the other part of the story, of course, that we've been covering now for some time, before I let you go, is the National Energy Guarantee and a long campaign from all of the industry to say we're going to go it alone if, of course, the government doesn't go down the road of the National Energy Guarantee. Government has moved away from the NEG. Do you think the industry is looking at that kind of option, or is this now a wait-and-see game in relation to the federal election and the outcome of who's going to be the next government?
Well, we have been a broken record on the need for a national climate and energy policy for years now. And the National Energy Guarantee was really an excellent, very serviceable way to deliver on that policy vacuum. We will be continuing to work with the Parliament and see if in the lead up to or after the election there may still be a commitment to the National Energy Guarantee. In the meantime, the industry is looking at options to deliver a policy framework of that type without political support. I don't think that would be our preference, to be honest with you, but we really are in a desperate situation. We need to break through this policy impasse where we've continued to have to deal with the vacuum and all of the uncertainty that comes along with it.
If we don't have an election, election till May, and that now looks likely. Does that mean for the next 5 months we live in this kind of policy vacuum, or we stand still waiting to know what the industry can do without that conclusive result of what the market will look like?
Well, policies of this nature aren't sort of conceived of or implemented overnight. So it is a conversation that we'll be having with both sides of the parliament between now and the election. And I suppose we will reassess the situation after the election and see whether the National Energy Guarantee does once again have bipartisan support. We're certainly hopeful it might.
Sarah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Sarah McNamara is the Chief Executive of the Australian Energy Council. This is RN Drive. 0418 226 576 is the text line.